The Life of General Belisarius, The Plot to Kill Justinian, Part 2, and The Plot to Marry Off Justinian's Daughter Joanna. Now, when we left off, the traitors had decided they were going to work on Belisarius before they went after Justinian. And there was little doubt that was entertained by the traitors of the concurrence of Germanus, whose feeling of attachment to Justinian, both as a subject and as a kinsman, must, in their opinion, long since have yielded to injustice and neglect, which his merit had experienced. But Germanus was an honest and high-minded prince. He recoiled with horror from their infamous proposal to assassinate Justinian and probably Belisarius. Far from engaging in their enterprise, was anxious, and on the contrary, to disclose it to the emperor. To obtain, however, more certain evidence than his own unsupported assertion, he employed the stratagem of pretended compliance. A trusty friend, concealed beneath a curtain, was the witness of a private interview, and his testimony, when brought forward before Justinian, served to arraign the conspirators and to vindicate Germanus. The plot was revealed to the emperor at almost the very time when Belisarius was entering the suburbs of Constantinople, and thus a few days of earlier departure from Otranto, or of greater speed in his journey, would probably have cost him his life. Through the warning of Germanus, it was easy to divert the threatened danger. A meeting of the Senate was convened for the trial. The persons of Artaban and Arses were secured, and the rack extorted from them a confession of their crime. The only remaining question, therefore, was the sentence to be passed upon them. And on this point, we have, according to various depositions, either admirable clemency or the deplorable weakness of Justinian, who merely degraded Artaban from his dignities and confined him to an apartment of the palace. A readiness to pardon is certainly the more popular and shining equality in princes, yet it may be doubted whether we ought not to prefer a just severity which shields the innocent by seldom sparing the guilty. But if the mere forgiveness of Justinian seemed rash and inconsiderate, what do we say once more raising Artaban to a high and honorable trust? The convicted conspirator was one among the many generals whom the caprice of the imperial council, after the return of Belisarius, ended up being appointed in rapid succession to supreme authority in the Gothic War in Italy. He is afterwards mentioned as obtaining some successes against the troops of Totila in Sicily, but his further fate is not recorded. Such were public transactions when attended the return of Belisarius from Italy. Another one of private nature also seems to have occurred, but it is given to us by testimony that really is not considered to be authentic, nor really a whole lot of information. It had actually been a favorite object of the late Empress Theodora to conclude a marriage between Anastasius, her nephew, or perhaps one of her illegitimate descendants, and Joanna, the only child of Belisarius, and therefore the sole heiress of his wealth. Joanna had been left at Constantinople when her parents set out for the Italian War, and they were far from approving of the proposed alliance. But fearful of offending by an open refusal, a woman of such exalted rank and vindictive temper as Theodora, they merely deferred their consent till their return, probably expecting that the lingering disease of Theodora might remove her from the scene. The Empress was not, however, to be so baffled. She employed the last few months of her life in rendering, as she imagined, their marriage necessary by prevailing on the intended bride to sacrifice her honor. And it was not until half a year from this time that Antonia arrived in Constantinople. Regardless of the virtue, the fame, and perhaps the affections of her daughter, she broke off the intended nuptials, and Belisarius, on his return, submitted as usual to the wishes of his wife. Whether Joanna ever contracted any other marriage, or whether the family of Belisarius was extinct at her death, has not been recorded. From this time forward, through the next 11 years, and that is from AD 548 to AD 559, the life of Belisarius affords no remarkable occurrences. He remained at Constantinople in the tranquil enjoyment of opulence and dignities. Besides his ancient post of General of the East, Justinian had named him Chief of the Imperial Guards, and though the older senators and patricians might have claimed superior rank, they unanimously yielded to his precedence of merit. It is in this well-earned repose that Belisarius might probably have continued until his death, had not the calamities and the danger to his country once more summoned the veteran to arms. So we're going to see Belisarius head off in another direction next time. We are running out of time. Belisarius is not going to live forever. The sources for this include The Wars of Justinian by Procopius, Short History of Byzantium by Norwich, Byzantine Art of War by Decker, Byzantine Armies 324 to 1453 by Turnbull, and The Life of Belisarius by Mahone. So I hope you enjoyed that, and as always, don't forget to come by the website, summahistorica.com or historyaccordingtobob.com, and ask a question, leave a comment, check out our merchandise, and if you like what we're doing, please feel free to support us. Thank you very much.